This is an interview with Tommy Agee in connection with the Equitable Old Timers Game at Cincinnati, Ohio, July 21st, 1990. Tommy, we'll just kind of go through your career here. Looks like you started out parts of three seasons with the Indians and then went over to the White Sox. Is that correct?
That's correct. Most of my minor league years was in Cleveland. And toward the big leagues, and I was traded to the Chicago White Sox.
Then you had, I guess your first big season was in 1966. You had 160 games, about a 273.
Yeah, that was my rookie year. And, during that time, just trying to stay in the big leagues. And, I had a pretty good year for a rookie.
And then you were with the White Sox in 67, and then the big event when you went to the Mets, and I guess
the Mets is 1968, and of course didn't have such a good year that year, but in 69 I was had a pretty good year. We ended up winning the championship and World Series there, and then I ended up staying in New York. Matter of fact, that's where I live now.
Oh, you live in
New York? Yes, in New York City. Yeah.
Are you you got any connection to baseball?
No, I never wanted to be in baseball when I got to play. I just, one of those things, I just, when a player wants to play, and that's all I want to do.
Well, let's get into 69. That 69, Game 3 of the World Series, that was one tremendous game for you. And checking that over, I said you had a home run in the first inning and two sensational catches in the fourth and seventh inning. And why don't you tell me about those catches?
Well, actually, the whole team was kind of on the road during that time. You know, if one guy didn't pick the guy up, the other one did, you know. So that, you know, I thought they were championships. Yeah. You know, 25 guys and everybody was contributing. So, you know, I didn't really have a great series as far as the four games, but that was my contribution for that one day.
Yeah.
In a home run, and of course, I had the two good catches that day. But then I was about to put this first series for myself. Just about to pick, I got to pass baton on to somebody else.
Well, if you're not going to say much about it, I'm going to say that the record book shows that that you made a catch off of Elrond Hendricks, 365 feet, with men on first and third in the fourth inning. And then in the seventh inning, with the bases full, you made a diving catch on Paul Bear's liner with two outs. So the book also went on to say that everybody relates with Willie Mays and Al Giamprato's catches in the World Series, and they said without a doubt you had two of them that compared to them in the same game, and also hit a home run off of Jim Palmer. So I guess how could you improve on that?
Well, that was a great day, you know. But it's one of the things that you haven't won in your lifetime, and probably on the course of a season you do something like that, and it's just another game. But in the World Series, maybe people watching you all over the country and all over the world, it makes it that much more exciting and that much bigger. So, you know, I just have to be able to contribute in that fashion, that's all.
And then you stayed with the Mets through the 72 season, and then 73 you were with the Astros and the Cards.
Right.
And had a total year of about 12 years in the big league.
I had about 10 good years in big leagues, from a guy from Mobile who didn't, but never thought I was going to be in the big leagues. I thought that was great, you know. And I was happy to play in the big leagues 10 years.
Over 1,100 games.
1,100 games, yeah. And I live in New York now, and, you know, baseball is one phase of your life, and then you leave there, you go do something else. And right now, I'm very happy with what I do in New York. I do some real estate work in New York City, and I enjoy that. So, you know, one half of my life was baseball, the half is real estate, and I enjoy both sides.
Yeah, but I'm sure wherever you go, they'll always know you're in New York, because you made your mark with the town.
Absolutely.
You also had 2 years in the All-Star game in 66 and 67.
Yeah, that was part of my life. You know, that's part of it. I didn't just play one of them. I was there, though, you know, but I guess invited to the All-Star game is a tribute all by itself.
Well, you had a very interesting career, and appreciate your time to take with me, Tommy.
Thank you very much.
Very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interview with Willie Horton at Cincinnati, Ohio, July 21st, 1990, in connection with the Echo Old Timers game, which will be played tomorrow. Willie, I guess looks like the first time you got the big leagues was in 1964, where you played part of the season with the Tigers.
Well, that's true. I came up then in 64. I think it's one of my years I look back as something that helped me in the future as a big league player. I had an opportunity to come up a year before that in a 63. But I started off in 64 and I was sent back to Syracuse, and I think that was the best thing to happen to Willie Horton. Come back out and went down and stay a long time in the big league.
And then you stayed the Tigers, I guess, up until you went to Texas.
Yeah, 1977.
Yeah.
Well, the Tigers kind of raised me. I've been around the ballpark ever since I was a kid. I worked up sometime as a clubhouse kid. And I didn't have a dream or idea I want to be a big league player. I always had special, I guess, respect. And I always thought they were special people. I know how to play ball, but I didn't say I want to be a big league player. I can't come out and say that, but I really thought they was God-given people, and I guess we all are. We blessed with some special ability, and I never think I ever reached, and I think that would motivate me, kept me going, and keep that respect there.
Well, I guess the highlight of your career in Detroit then was in 1968 when you won the World Series.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the highlights of my career that. As we went back, we was down in the World Series, and I think I look back at something special to me that had to say many thanks to people who helped me kind of become a complete outfielder over the years that became a thinking outfielder that no one had at a particular time. At the turning point of that World Series, I thought Luke Brock at home played the fifth game of the World Series, and he came back and went on to win the World Series.
Is that the time when he didn't sign?
That's the time of it, but people were talking time in the signs. Now, I think it came from a combination of a lot of mistakes and bad habits that picked up through the summer. That, not saying that he was slightly been safe or anything, but I think it goes back to the respect to Mickey Stanley and our center fielder, and we all sit and look at films that we've seen that he picking up bad habits, whether he was at, say, we use that first base ball into the outfield, he kind of dripped in the third or same way as he did in on second. But I think the key to play, the coach caught him off guard too, and the guy on the deck circle. And I know a few nights before that, we looked at some films and he picked that up. But he set up two plays at one. You know, you hit the cutoff man and leave the decision made up to the catcher. So you don't let the other guy advance to set you up that another run could put a cap on the game. So that was already set in our mind what we were going to do. Well, it could have been Willie Horton, Jim Norton, he could hit the ball to right field. We know what we had to do because we seen he was pulling up a few steps going around the third base or either around the second base.
Yeah. So playing the head.
Well, I think that's what helped me over the years that I said thanks to Mickey Stanley, and that's why I speak to a lot of young outfielders. And we have a lot of respect in the center field. He can make a great left field and right field out of you because you let him patrol you. It'll save you a lot of 20 or 30 running.
Well, I didn't mean to detract from the throw, but it was such a memorable picture. We would be throwing out standing up that way.
Well, that's true. But I think I always learn a team type of concept in this game. I just very fortunate. I played the game and blessed I played the years I did play, considering a lot of four major operations I had. But I did shorten my career. I know in 4 years after I was in the big league, Dr. Curlin was one of the well-respected doctors in this country. Well, he didn't doubt I was going to play anymore baseball. I ended up playing 14 more years. So
when was this?
That's about after my fourth year in the big league.
Oh.
I lost a lot of people in the ball. I lost. I don't have a kneecap. I had a kneecap since before here. I lost that, and I had a couple of tennis operations. Could have got beamed, 2 hours surgery, but I kind of kept a lot of secret. Went down south and got healed in the wintertime.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think that's that would maybe reach back and do this from great other players that keep me respect there, and that's the time I can start playing tricks myself. So, well, I have the ability, so now this is the time I got to go out and work and maybe come out of here.
Before we get beyond the 78 World Series, I want to point out you had you played all seven games and had a 304 batting average. So that was a pretty good series.
Yeah, and that's true.
When you beat the Cards 4-3, so that was very interesting.
Good series. Well, I was down 3-1. You know, that was a great series. But I guess it ended up about two or three teams that we came back with 3 games down and came back and win it.
Well, then you went on from the Tigers. You went on to Texas, and then you went on to Texas for what, 1 year?
Yeah, I stayed in Texas 1 year, and in Texas. I didn't know why I left Texas. You know, had a good year there. We almost went to Penn that year, and I guess that was the shock of my life because I drove all the way to Florida. I was supposed to be signing a contract, and I got to Florida. And I never forget that the clubhouse man Michael said, "Well, you traded to Cleveland." I said, "Cleveland? Where is Cleveland?" You know, I ain't gonna say exactly where what I said. Because my dad always told me when I was a kid, don't ever go to Cleveland. That's just like, he said, never go to Cleveland, you finish. But that was, I thought they were playing a joke on Toby Allen and I think the gentleman that they have now. We went out for lunch and I saw, man, Michael just took me on. Ain't no way there. I'm going to Cleveland. But, you know, that's part of the game. That's part of baseball. And you're thankful that you had opportunity. But I think, one of the things that happened to me, I went over and I learned the valuable things that I can give back to some of the younger players. That's when I really said, now that's the time really you can play your role that Carlo Vita done played with you when you came along. And I think that's the second time in my life I turned and became a man in baseball, understand the game and start. And I think I've got some more mileage on my career to that. Going over so I wanted to play, I didn't do that. I'd go over and play the part that I could play. Knowing that you're on a young club, you're going to be in an under game. That's all I had to being a tiny under game is what I had to do. But
then you must have had some physical problems that year because you were with that year you had some problems. So you were with the started out with Cleveland, then you ended up with the A's and the Blue Jays before the season was over.
Well, that year, this is a different time. People forget that. See, I left Texas and went to Cleveland. Okay, yeah. What happened in Cleveland? It was a I guess the girl made a mistake on my contract, whatever. They tried to get me to come back and resign, and I went. So he had to pay me anyway, so I can go home. So I said, I'd rather go home and stay there. So if somebody pick you, you got to go to that team while you forfeit your contract. So when I got home, Charlie Finley called. I guess I hit over 300, maybe 350 or something. And we had a chance to backdoor the league that year at Oakland. And I had kind of set up a deal with Rico Cortez from Toronto. And I think we got him. We were backdoor, but we got him about a week later. They made me go towards that deal in Toronto. And we kind of backfired. So that's how I got to Toronto. And that's when I had my problem there. I got hurt up there at the ballpark. And I hit my police manager. And I guess at the end of the year, I blanked out. And I was in a coma off and on that winter. I'm a lucky man to be here. So I came out of retirement.
That was the result of being hit by the pitch ball?
Yes.
When you went to Toronto?
Yes. That's how I did. Right in a short time, I guess in one little period of time, I went to all of my clubs. And that's how that happened, through that contract, and I ended up with Toronto.
Then the following year, you were with Seattle.
Well, I guess that's when I went down to winter ball and I worked on my health, Pickett Rawhouse, and I think I owe a lot of respect to him. I told him he was a sick man, he helped me, and he was training me just like he trained a horse for my physical, my mental, and mind stage, and I came out of it.
And you certainly did, because in 79 you played 162 games, you batted 279 for Seattle.
And I tell you, that was an amazing year, because I never forgot talking to Mr. Lou Gordon. I called him, I told him my health good, and I wanted to come in spring training, and I guess he had some people watching me down in Venezuela and what I was doing. And he wanted to give me a contract. I said, I don't want no contract. Because, you know, you get to a point where I feel something that I haven't felt in a long time. And I got to spring training. He said, I still got to give you a contract. I said, well, let's wait to see what I'm going to do. And I said, after that, I want a rookie contract. Then if you want to set some bonus and send it up for my family, do that. And I think that brought something out of it that year.
That was year. Then by playing that year, you got the award to come back player of the year. That year.
Well, I did really well.
Then you had trouble the next year because you were on the DL twice in 1980.
But that's the year I shouldn't even play that year. But you get to a point that yesteryears you stay around and do things to help support the younger players and get the appreciation there. If your effort there, just being there, you don't have to do anything. Just being there brings. Expand their incentive for them to do things. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a deal with my manager, Daryl Johnson, wanted to do it. I wouldn't even play, but I had nerves problems right now. I still have a problem with my hands. I kept trying to do that, and then I had
That's where my career ended up, right there. From that, you know, I had to stay out, may not still have been there. I was hoping to retire there. But, you know, I have no complaints in the game. I had a good career. I look at my record, I'm very surprised what I've done in baseball.
Well, over 2,000 games played, 273, roughly 273 batting average.
I tell you, I hit over that and over 1,200 RBIs, I guess. I hit over 325 home runs or more. I'm a fortunate man. I'm blessed. And I think I could give it to the people who gave me a sentence in my life. It was all professional baseball players that they had high respect for, that I learned from my dad, is respect people who got a day older than me, and I need to respect them.
You were doing DH at the end of the year, at the end of your career. Was that partly because of injury?
No, it was best for the team, with the CL, and I think...
I thought maybe with your injuries at the...
Well, that was a good way that you could help get a lot of mileage out of a guy that could have injured problems and get the reserve. Maybe that's the reason I played 162 games a year with Seattle, but I think... a lot of that come from help support me, but I can still play first or third base. I played a couple games first and third base.
Sam, when your last association was with Texas, did you stay in baseball in any
no, matter after that? Well, I'll tell you, I went to Texas, and that's one of the shocking parts of my life. I've never seen myself going out and help Texas again, and hope that we go to the championship. And best spring training I ever had in my life. And I knew something was wrong. And I think that was just a trade, but just set up for them to do something that Seattle couldn't do. I'll never forget talking to Don Zimmerman. He couldn't give me answers, so he said, go talk to Eddie Robertson. And I got praised and got released. So that's, that's what they gave me an opportunity, and that's when I packed the bag and went home. But I didn't go home and sit in the cellar because I know I can still do things. And so I said, I'm going to go. I was shy like 3 hits or 4 hits, about 2,000 hits. I said, I'm going to show I can still play this game. So I went to Portland. And I went up there. I guess I hit a couple of years, about 40, 60 home run. And so I hope to get that chance, get them three hits. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. So I don't know. The day I really officially retired, I went down to Mexico, and we were playing Mexico City. And his kid, he bought some kid to pitch to me. He couldn't pitch to me. So I told my son then, I called time. Told him, let's go home. It's time to go home. That was it. That was it. That's the time I said, I got to let it go now. Because I didn't want to cheat anyone from their opportunity. Yeah.
Tell me what you've been doing recently.
Well, I've been working for the police department in Detroit. And, I got appointed about 14 months ago, third deputy chief of police athletic league back there. And I thought I'd be going around doing a little PR, but it's more than that. I had to learn the military ways and stuff like that, because my whole unit and staff is lieutenant, sergeant, and you got field work. So, but I tell you, I'm blessed because people would make really what, like, I'm doing things now that would make baseball for me. I played for people. I know I've been around the Tigers all my life, but I mean, people, guys I played against, they all came part of my family. I'm just blessed to be put back in the community and be around people again.
Let's just close and tell me again what you said about Tiger Stadium, about how you felt about Tiger Stadium.
Well, they hate to see it move. I think that they don't find another park like that, the playing field, which is some way that we can reserve it, or, there's some way that, I think the problem that you might have there, if you're in New York, we have two parks, they might send us players over park while they fix this park. I think it would be an answer there, but we don't have that. But some way they can come up with some kind of solution that it won't interfere with the season, and if they're with a good plan, I think the mayor of Detroit might support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, those of us who are interested in baseball or like to see the stadium safe, because there's a few of those.
Well, I like to see it because they heard of me when they did it a few years back, and they kind of redid it and painted it, because I had a block out on the wall. That's how I learned how to play ball. I mean, the kids in neighborhood, we call a strikeout block. That's how we learned how to play baseball, playing strikeout.
Yeah.
So, but it's a lot of history there. And I think history's got to be passed down to make it to the future. That's the same thing I'm doing in my job. I'm not doing anything on it different than other people. I'm just giving back what it gave to me.
Yeah. Well, I had to ask about Tiger Stadium. Since you were back working at Detroit, you played so long up there that so many people want to see it preserved and either renovated or kept going.
Well, it's a good ballpark if they can keep it down. I'm in support of it.
Yeah.
Well, Willie, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time with me.
Thank you
again.
Thank you.